want to discuss tonight a question that comes up in a show Aveda. It's a very common question. Comes up all the time, and people don't usually know what to do. I'm not sure what to do either, but we'll discuss some of the shitas, some of the cheshbonas that come up. That is the question of what do you do with property that was abandoned, discarded by a minor, by a katan. You have this all the time. He leaves. My Rav, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, talks about cases where the kids pick up peklach and shul, and then they put the peklach on a shelf, and 6 months later, you're cleaning for Pesach, and their food is still there. You're pretty sure it was a kid who left it there. So what do you do? So if it's an adult's property, you know, we know the halachas, or we will know after we finish learning Hashavas Aveda, all the rules of Yeish and Yemunach, there are all kinds of halachas. What are you supposed to do when it is property belonging to a katan? Well, there are really several questions here. First of all, what are you supposed to assume in general if you don't know, if you find a pen, which could be an adult or a child's, what do you assume? Is it a katan's or a gadol's? But primarily, I'm interested in the question, assuming you know it's a katan's, you can tell it's a kid's watch, or you can tell it's something that clearly belonged to a katan, how do the halachas differ from the regular case of Hashavas Aveda? So the main line in Shulchan Aruch, the main reference in the Gemara, is one line. We have it earlier in Siman Reish Samach. I didn't put it on the curriculum for this week. It's basically just one line in the middle of a more complicated context. We're talking about fruits that fall off trees, certain types of trees. Tamarind Ziki, the Gemara calls them, dates that fall off certain trees. So it's a situation of Yeish. The owners typically don't bother with them, with just a few fruits, and they get messed up by the bugs, the Gemara says. They get messed up pretty quickly. It's the kind of thing that the owners typically write off as wastage or spoilage. So there's a form of Yeish. But the Gemara has a problem with that. The Gemara says, after the Gemara finishes the whole sugya of Yeish Shalomidas, famous Machlok Zabai and Rava, we'll be seeing a lot more of in the coming Simanim, if a person, the classic case is a person doesn't know that he lost it yet. So he would be Miyayish if he knew, he will be Miyayish if he knows, but he hasn't been Miyayish yet. That's called Yeish Shalomidas. Machlok Zabai and Rava, Abaye says that's not called Yeish, we paskin like Abaye, that's not called Yeish, and that's where a lot of the headaches of Hashavas Aveda begin. If he doesn't know he lost it yet, that's the classic case, and there's no Yeish, and he can't keep it. So the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, since we paskin like Abaye, hani tamri dezeka hechach lian lehu. How do we eat these dates that fall off the trees? The owner doesn't know about them necessarily, so it's Yeish lomidas. The Gemara says, no, kivan dikash gatsim vermasim, there are bugs and vermin that tend to eat these fruits after they fall down, meikara yushim yayish minayu. Is Yeish right away. The owner writes them off to begin with. As soon as he plants his trees, as soon as the crop grows, he knows that they're going to be lost. So he's Miyayish. The Gemara says, wait a second. Yasmin d'lavne mechilin enumai. Yisomim, ketanim, in other words. If they own property, they inherited from their father, they can't be mochil. The Gemara declares a rule, yasmin d'lavne mechilin enu mai. We can't have Yeish. The Gemara says, you're right. But bagabar diyasmin lamachzikina. If there's a stam, an arbitrary tree, a particular tree that you found, particular dates that you found, you don't have to be choshesh yisomim. It's in a big community full of adults. There might be some yisomim there, but you don't have to be choshesh for that. Muksikva made mai, karchesam mai. What if it's muksikva? I mean, what if we know it's yisomim? The Mara says, you're right, then there's no eitzah, then it's us here. The Mara seems to say pretty clearly, halacha lemaisa, that if you know something came from yisomim, at least in this particular case of the dates that fell off the tree, their Yeish doesn't work. The Gemara declares a principle, Kitani labne mechila, Yaspi labne mechila ninu, they can't be mochel, and therefore you are stuck. It's certainly according to Abaye, the Yeish lomidas, love a Yeish, then it is a problem. It's not going to work. Why does it depend on Abaye and Rava? If a katan can't be mochel, if it can't be miyayish, why is it any better according to Rava? Tosfos explains. Okay. Well, Tosfos at least explains the Bishlam al Rava. Rava says, if they would be adults, they would be miyayish. That's as good as yeish lomidas. Rashi says what?
I think Rashi says that it would be a kasha even according to Rava, just that now we're saying let's get a bigger kasha.
Okay, fine. I'll call part of the basic halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch brings the basic rule that when you're dealing with tamari tzatziki, when you're dealing with these fruits, im ha'yushal yisamim, she'enem b'nei mechila, asurim. That's halacha lemaisa. If the fruits came from property, if you know it came from property belonging to Yisomim, then they are aser. So there's a major machlokas, mostly achronim. There are some echoes in the Rishonim even. A major machlokas achronim, how to understand the sugya and this din. Some poskim, Berosham, primarily the Nesivus, both here and in his Kilas Yaakov and Ebenezer, some poskim understand, this is a general rule, that Yisomim can't be Miyayish. The entire principle of Yayish doesn't apply to property of Yisomim. Anytime your heter to pick up an Aveda is based on Yayish, if the owner is a Katan, it does not work. And Siva says, Lefizeh, who had done any Aveda, not just this particular case of Tamri Dezeka, who had done any Aveda, Dover Shein Basimon, there's no Simon, a dollar bill, something which has no Simon at all, which by an adult you could simply pick up and keep. If you happen to know that it came from a Katan, he talks about Nisvada Be'edim. We suggested other cases where you can tell by the type of thing maybe that it belongs to a Katan, but whatever it is, assuming we know for sure that it belongs to a Katan, Chayev Lahachzir, that there's no Dein Yeish Moel B'Katanim, Dehavi Yeish Lomidas. He calls it Yeish Lomidas. His assertion explains, he means based on that Tosfos that according to Rava, everything would be fine because since if he would grow up, he would be Miyayish. If he would know about it when he grew up, he'd be Miyayish. Here also he's Miyayish, but we pass like a bayit, Yeish Lomidas, Lovi Yeish. Every Katan winds up being Yeish Lomidas, and the Sivas tells you a flat rule, one line, anytime Katan loses property, Yeish doesn't work, and you have to return it to him even after Yeish. The truth is, the Sivas is not the first one to understand the Gemara like this. The Meiri says this. The Meiri in his Beis Bechira on the Gemara says the principle you see in this Gemara is any time Yeish would give you the right to be Zelch in property, if the one who lost it is a Katan, Yeish does not apply. And that is also the opinion of several other major poskim, perhaps most importantly, Rabbi Kivager. In the Gilyan Hashas, a blad earlier in Bavmetzia, the Gemara talks about a case of Leket, there was leftover Matnas Aniyim in a field. So the Gemara says that the Aniyim are Miyayish. After a certain point, that they've already gotten whatever's worth taking, the rest they abandon, the rest is considered Yeish. So the Gemara says, wait a second, according to that, there are other Aniyim, that what about the other Aniyim in the next city? The Gemara says, they don't know exactly what's going on here, but it says, Meikara Yushim Yeish. All the other Aniyim say, we're not traveling to the next city to pick up some bits of wheat, so then Yeish right away. So it works because of Yeish. When all the Aniyim have given up, then it becomes Yeish. Rikveger has a kasha in the Gilyan Hashas, but there are Aniyim Katanim. The Matnas Aniyim belong to all the Aniyim in the world. Some of those Aniyim are Katanim. Katanim can't be Miyayish. It's Mefurusha Gemara and Dachta Beis. Katanim can't be Miyayish. And therefore, these poskim, the Meiri, the Nesivis, the Rikveger, all say there's a general rule anytime you try and invoke Yeish, Yeish doesn't work in the context of Katanim. There are, however, a number of other Gedol Echronim who learn that that's not what the Gemara means. That in general, Yeish does apply to property of a Katan, and the case of Tamar Dezeka is special. They argue that the case of Tamar Dezeka, this was said by the Sefer Agudas Ezov, the Avnei Ezer's father, he's Medayikin of the Lashon of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that Rav Moshe held like this in his Tshuvas as well as Dibros Moshe. They explain Tamar Dezeka is not really Yeish. You have to get into the technical details of the sugya. They say it's really more like Hefker. The Tamar might be sitting in the owner's property. It's really more like Mechila or Hefker. It's not an Aveda yet. If he comes by his trees, he'll find them there. Just he's not interested, so he's basically Mafker them. Exactly how they explain why it's Hefker is a complex question, how you understand Tamar Dezeka, or Moshe has quite a lot to say about it. But roughly speaking, in principle, the idea they're saying is that Tamar Dezeka is a form of Hefker or Mechila. That's more like a Maisa Kenyan, a deliberate act of giving it up or being Mafker. It's not an Aveda at all. Therefore, a katan certainly can't be mafker or mochel. That they can't do. But regular yeish, there's a famous discussion in the Rishonim, yeish mitam mechila, mitam hefker, not mitam hefker, but whatever it is, regular yeish is not a conscious decision to be mafker. As long as you say, vaylach hasar and kiss, that's enough. As long as it is an aveda, yeish works. These poskim, including Rav Moshe, say that the regular yeish works even for a katan. Rav Moshe makes the point, a very cogent point, he says, the Gemara asked Akasha on Tamar Dezeka, what are you going to do if they're owned by Yisomim? The Gemara didn't ask every other case in Eilu Metzias, every other case where it says Hareilu Shalo, every other type of Metzia, what if it belongs to a Katan and it's Aser? Moshe says Avada, because the Nesivis is wrong. It doesn't bring the Nesivis, the Nesivis is wrong. Avada regular Yeish works by a Katan. It's only Tamar Dezeka, which is working as a form of Mechila and Hefker, which is not a regular Aveda. That's where a Katan can't do it, but a regular Aveda, Katan can be Miyayish. The Agudas Ezev is Medayik, the language of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. They keep using the word Mechila in the context of Tamar Dezeka, not regular Aveda and Yeish, Lashon Mechila. That's why it doesn't work for a Katan. A regular Aveda, Yeish, does work for a Katan. Rav Moshe's Tshuva is actually...
Would that answer Bikivega as well?
Would that answer Bikivega's case? Would that be Mechila? Right, the Gemara uses the Lashon Eyushim Yeish, but it could be. Maybe you could say that Gemara is also working Bataras... Again, you could say that Gemara is working as Pasha Yeish, has no shakas to the Gemara, which is a Bazundra Dina Mechila. That Gemara is Al Tzeyesh, which is,
right.
Could be it's considered Ovid. Yeah, could be your answer to
right,
Rikvega's Kasha too.
Right, so Rikvega has asked the Kasha Dafka by the case of of the aniyim. I have the aniyim, what about aniyim kitanim?
Right.
So the answer would be that aniyim are b'tayros.
Regular yesh they have, yeah. It's only the mechila and the ketamer zeka that they don't have. Regular,
right.
Yeah, could be an answer regarding kash also.
No, the only shal is but we passing like a baye, so they're b'tayros. But I don't understand what's an afkamina. Even though they're b'tayros yesh, so it's still yesh shlamidas.
The Mar says make karam.
Oh, for
them,
that's good.
Does their make kara work?
But it's a regular yeish make kara. It's not a hefker make kara. It's a yeish make kara. We have to see this again.
While we're dining on this, don't you have das acheres be makna for katanim in case of like a jacha? Like, who's being makna?
So there is a din das acheres. Some rishonim learned that if a katan, certainly for a katan to acquire property, you need das acheres. When a katan gives up property, that by definition there isn't das acheres. He's the machnim, and he's the one who's giving up the property. So he certainly doesn't have
like the shecha, like the katanim, like who gives it them? Like they don't get it. All
I mean, how do they get it in the first place? You mean?
Yeah.
I guess the Torah gave it to them. I guess the Torah gave it to aniyim. How does every aniyim get? I hear. Yeah.
The automatically belongs.
I would assume so. Yeah. I would assume it's like the Torah gives it to them. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm not 100% sure, but
yeah. So even the Torah gave it to them, so we need to give it all. Something like, is that the das cheres? I mean,
an interesting question. How to look at the Torah's gift of the aniyim.
Yeah.
All right, so I just want to move on a little bit. So Ramosh is actually discussing a fascinating shaila. Ramosh was discussing the following case. He wanted to know. It was a shaila in Luben back in the 30s, I think. They had, it wasn't as easy to get lulavim as they could today. And this is his discussion in the Tshuvas. The Dibur Moshe is more theoretical, obviously, but in the Tshuvas, this was his case. It was hard to get lulavim. They wanted to use last year's lulavim, which is kosher, mikra din, if you can do it the right, meet all the conditions. The problem was, they were choshesh that they had given the lulavim to katanim to use the year before. So, we know you don't give a lulav to a katan on the first day of Yom Tov before you use it, because then he can't give it back. That's a major problem, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. But after you use it, the second day at least, after you use it, you could give it to a katan. And people apparently did. He gets into the whole shaila, for chinuch it could be, you have to give it to the katan if he wants to be yotzi. What do you do the first day then? I'm not sure. He has a whole discussion about whether they did or didn't give it to the Katanim. But the problem he's dealing with is, assuming that the Lulavim were given to Katanim the year before, and the Katan can never give it back. That's what the Gemara says, Kani v'lo Makni. The Katan is Kani, can't be Makni, at least not on a Daraisa level. So Ramosha and his rabbinic correspondents were grappling with the question, how can you use any Lulav if at one point in history it belonged to the Katan? Once it belongs to a Katan, that's it. L'olam v'ad, it belongs to the Katan. So how do you ever get the Lulav back from the Katan next year? So Ramosha's basic point is to argue that when the katan discards the lulav, it does become hefker. These lulavim, they weren't taking them out of the katanim's bedrooms. There weren't too many cases where the katanim kept them in their bedroom in the closet for next year. There were all lulavim that were thrown away, and they found them in the garbage dump. They found them just discarded, and they wanted to use them next year. So that was the situation. They were discarded by the katanim. So Ramosh is trying to argue at length that even though the Gemara says Yas milavne mechilin inhu, that just means that a nice akinian of mechila of hefker they can't do. Ramosh's main theme throughout the tshuva is to argue that if the katan discards it and doesn't want it and puts it in a place where it's not shomer and it's something that nobody wants at the end of the year, it's not just the katan's not a bardas, he makes bad decisions. Nobody wants the lulav, even the gedolim throw them away at the end of the year. Ramosh's point by Richus is that works even for a katan. If it becomes a real aveda, both according to Abaye and according to Rava, if the katan does a maisa which makes it avud and he is miayish from it, that a katan could have. Therefore, the lulavim become hefker.
Said he throws it away. That sounds more like the mechila or hefker more than.
It's true that we need a conscious discarding the lulav, but it's not b'taras a maisa kinin of hefker. It's b'taras that when he's mesalik his interest from it, when it becomes both mitzias avod and he's not interested in it, at that point it's chala d'niyush and it becomes hefker. That's it's a complicated juva. I'm not sure I'm saying it 100% precisely, but that's his basic point. He argues that normally if a katan throws something away, which is a bad decision, because people goof have a mitzvah of a shavas veda to return it to him, that stops his bialos from departing from the chayfetz. But something that the katan does, which is in line with what everyone else would do, not bataras and maisa kenyan, but bataras yeish and aveda, that taka works even for a katan. He brings a raya to all this. He says the rishonim say, the mishnah says in sukkah, that at the end of sukkahs there was a minhag. They used to grab lulavim from each other and grab esrogim, and it was okay. The Tosa says, the Rosh says, because it was a minhag, that's what they used to do. It was kach nagu, and achronim say it was a gedra of mechil. Even if you personally say you're not mochel, it's like batla daite, lav kol kamini, Ramosha says, a general minhag of mechila. So Ramosha says, but they're katanim. So some of the people giving up the lulavim, it says miyadati nokus, they would take stuff from the katanim. How can katanim be mochel? What does it help? Is a minik to be mochel? A katanim can't be mochel. Tarot is a maisa kinyan, a specific decision to be mochel something doesn't work, but something where the katan throws it away and everyone throws it away and he's masala, he's completely masalic his interest in it, he just discards it legamri, and something that even a gadol does, that's universally done. In such a case, Ramosha argues that works and the katan can actually give up his property. So the Vedas that we find in the shuls or wherever, so if it's a regular case of Yeush, we have a major machlok zachronim, whether Yeush works on an Aveda or not. There's another question which some of the contemporary posts can discuss, which is, if the katan deliberately threw it away, we have this kind of idea of Ramosha. If it's something that's just worthless, it's just three pieces of popcorn on the bottom of a bag, that would fit into this category, certainly. If it's something valuable, if the katan threw away because he's immature, then that would be a real problem. A deliberate hefker he can't do. Yeish would be, if he forgot it, then Yeish would be a question. The one other point that some of the contemporary posts can make is that, does the katan really own the property in the first place? It depends how he got it. It depends whether he got it, he found it, like Rabbi Eisman's case, where he grabbed the peklets that were thrown in shul, then he might have it, at least in the Drabanan, it might be his. That's a different question, whether if he finds a metziah and he's samech al shulchan aviv, whether the father gets it or not. But in cases where the father buys the kid stuff, I saw one whole discussion about a swimming goggles that belonged to a kid that were left in camp. Do we say those goggles belong to him or to the father? That seems to be a bit of a dispute among contemporary poskim. Some authors seem to think that anything that's the kid's personal effects, the assumption is it does belong to the kid, the father, the parents who buy them for the kid, give them to the kid, and now they're his, and therefore you might have a real problem if ein yesh katan klum. Others seem to understand that all the kid's personal effects are really the parents. The parent keeps them, he lets the kid use them, he sends the kid to camp with all his accessories, but it's really the parent stuff, and then the rules of yesh would go with the parents. Parents are able to miyayish, at least in the case where they already know that it's been lost.